Preventing Dangerous Falls. Falls are a major public health problem. Worldwide, falls are the second leading cause of death, only behind traffic accidents. And here in the U.S., it's estimated that one in four older adults, that's people 65 or older, will fall every year. But experts say falls are not a natural part of aging, and that by just changing a few things in your life, most people can dramatically reduce their risk of falling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, we'll discuss some of those potentially life-saving measures. We'll examine some of the misconceptions about older people and falling, and we'll learn about a series of events coming up this month all over the state. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. Injuries from falls are all too common, especially among older people, and they can have serious consequences. Today, we're going to learn about ways to prevent falls and ways to recover from them. Joining me in the studio, Anna Guest, who is Falls Prevention Project Director with the Southern Maine Agency on Aging and the Maine Falls Prevention Coalition Chair. Patty League is a registered nurse and program manager for A Matter of Balance. And Jason Adore is a physical therapist and the owner of the Maine Strong Balance Center in Scarborough. As always, we want to hear from you. Are you concerned about someone who might be vulnerable to falling? Are you concerned about yourself? Do you have questions about the after effects of a fall? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Anna, how big of an issue is this?
Well, falls is a huge issue. Nationally, we know it's a big problem, not only the impact that it has on an older adult or anyone who falls could very much impact their quality of life, but we also know that the cost of falls has a huge financial burden on our healthcare system. But here in Maine, we have some really interesting new data that comes from the Maine Health Data Organization, and we know that over 21,000 older adults 65 and above are falling every year, and that's about 60 a day. So it is a big issue.
I'm interested, too, in this statistic and wondering if it's low, because I'm suspecting a lot of people who fall don't tell anyone.
Yes. We really can only capture the people who show up and seek some kind of medical attention. And we know that a lot of people don't report a fall because they're concerned about what that might mean for their independence.
So that 21,000, even though it's a big number, may just be the tip of the iceberg.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I want to turn to you, Patty, here, because your organization is a national organization, correct? This is an issue not just in Maine, but in the U.S. and around the world, second leading cause of death in the world.
Yes. I work for Maine Health, and we oversee the national dissemination of A Matter of Balance program. And we know that falls really affect everybody and every aspect of life. And, you know, some people are older, some people are younger. But Matter of Balance really is aimed at addressing the issue in older adults and giving them some tools so that they can stay independent and be back in their lives after a fall and be as strong as they possibly can.
When you say older adults, what are we talking about? Who are we talking about?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's always a question, but it's really aimed at the 60 and over group.
So 60 isn't so old?
No, it isn't. It really isn't that old, but it doesn't matter if you're 60 or 70, the repercussions of a fall are big for yourself and for your community. And, you know, as you get older, the risk of falling does increase, and that's usually due to some frailty and deconditioning.
Okay.
But you can recover.
Okay, and I want to talk about some things we can all do to prevent. But first, I want to ask you, Jason, it's so interesting to me that you are a physical therapist who specializes in balance. So this speaks to what a big issue this is, that you are able to have a practice specializing balance. Who comes to you? Who are they, people who refer themselves? Are doctors referring folks to you?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks so much for having us and addressing this issue. So, yeah, balance is so foundational for health generally. So we're seeing people that will self-refer, meaning maybe they've had that fall that they haven't communicated, or maybe they're just noticing more difficulty than they've had in the past with certain tasks. And then we do have physicians that will send people to us specifically for falling. But I think balance is a space that's changing, where at one point it was thought that it's just a normal part of aging to have falls and balance difficulties. And we're realizing that it's really a space where you can use some ingenuity, whether it's the matter of balance or physical therapy, to really change things in terms of people's balance.
So why do people fall? If it's not a normal part of aging, then what is it? Why is it so common?
Yeah, so to unpack balance, I think, is the place to start answering that question. So balance is something that seems really simple at first, but when you really take a hard look at it, it's actually a complicated thing that's happening. So our body has a certain mass, and our feet have a certain base of support, and balance is all about keeping the center of that mass over the base of support. In order to do that, we figure that there's 17-plus systems involved in keeping you there. So, for example, your vision's important in telling you where you are in space. There's exotic systems like your inner ear that are leveling your body as you're turning your head. So it's a really complicated thing in terms of who's losing their balance. The approach that I take at the Balance Center is that, we look into each one of these systems, come up with a profile in terms of where the strengths and weaknesses are, tune up the strengths, and then you can have a really profound impact on someone's fall risk. So with aging, systems will change, but with exercise, they can be improved.
I know A Matter of Balance really focuses on prevention. What are some simple things that people listening here today can think about, maybe tweak in their own lives to be safer?
Oh, okay. Well, Jason already mentioned one, which is having your vision checked regularly, because our vision really does help us stay aware of our surroundings. I think it's simple things, from wearing good, solid footwear to reducing fall risks around our home, and having conversations with our health providers, because, every fall does matter, because every fall might have an impact on your independence. So it's not something we need to hide. We just need to put it out there and work together to be as strong as we possibly can.
And we're talking about figuring out why someone has fallen after they've fallen. But what if you're listening to this program, you say, gosh, I'm 65, I've never fallen, but I don't want to.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't want to. But so we can take a focus and pay attention to the surroundings, where we live. Can we reduce our fall risk by wiping up that spill or getting putting those throw rugs in off the floor? Maybe if you really love it, you hang it on the wall, because throw rugs are exactly that. They're throw rugs and they throw you down. So I think that there are an awful lot of ways that we can pay attention and, pay attention while you're doing things. We live in a very fast-paced world, so paying attention when you're going up and down the stairs, putting on good lighting, having some night lights in your home. There's some simple things that we can do every day that can really help us stay strong and on our feet and prevent that fall.
Anna, one of the reasons we're doing this program today is because all over Maine in the coming week are all sorts of events and workshops and things like that. Tell us what is going on this week around the state.
Oh, it's really exciting. We've had so many organizations get involved with Falls Prevention Awareness Day this year, and so we have balance screenings happening a number of different places, and that's an opportunity for you to go and have a quick screen of someone taking a look at your balance and letting you know what's going on and giving you some recommendations of steps you can take for prevention. We have some talks happening. Let's see, what else do we have? One of the really cool things I'm excited about this year is we're using the Meals on Wheels program that's embedded in all the agencies on aging around the state, and we're delivering an educational placemat. So when people enjoy their meal that's delivered to their house, they'll also have some basic education tips for preventing falls and some really simple exercises they could do at home to improve their balance.
Oh, that does sound great. Has that started yet?
I think for the most part, they're going out throughout this week and next week, but it's 2,500 Mainers will be getting those.
Okay. With a matter of balance, Patty, I wanted to ask you, is this a program that someone goes to once? Is this a series of classes? What is it?
Oh, a matter of balance is a series of classes so that you build on information 1 week to the next. It's 8 sessions long, and each session is about 2 hours. And you learn how to be a part of the conversation around falls and change the way you think and start exercising so that you can stay independent and learn how to problem solve and create plans so that you can take action steps in your own life to prevent falls.
I saw in reading up on your program today that Maine Health has been focused on this since 1999, and the matter of balance has been around, came around just a little bit later. Have we improved? Are fewer people falling now with all these public health outreach efforts around falls, or not as much as we would have hoped?
I think it's not as much as we would like to think, but I do know that one of the messages is that, okay, so something happened to you once. Don't let it happen again. Take charge and stay on your feet, stay upright, stay engaged in your personal life, and stay social. So some of it might be the recovery aspect and putting that information out there so that people can be supported in their recovery.
Jason, what are some of the myths that people have about falling and that you would like to dispel right here and now?
Gosh, I guess, you know, the first one I already said was that, you know, falls have to be a normal part of aging. I think that's so embedded socially as well as even in the medical field that we're missing tools like the matter of balance or physical therapy or some of the other Tai Chi and other classes that we've got going on. So that's one of them. I guess that's the first one that comes to mind.
Okay. I want to start. I don't usually go to an email so early, but this one is a really great question. I think speaks to so many people's concerns. This is from Betsy in Standish. She writes, I recently had a mysterious fall in the middle of the night. By examining my bruises and piecing together the parts I remember, I now believe that I passed out very briefly on my way to the bathroom and hit a table on my way down. This got me to asking questions about why I'm suddenly so unsteady on my feet, especially at night. You're just getting old isn't really an answer. I want to know why older people are so much more prone to falls than younger folks. My research has led me to the 2 blood pressure meds I'm taking. This is scary, especially because my medications make it more likely that I'll need to get up to use the bathroom in the night. I know that high blood pressure is a threat to my life, but so is falling down. I'm hoping your guests can talk about the role of blood pressure medications in falls and how to balance, pun intended, the good and bad effects.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a really common phenomenon called orthostatic hypotension, which means that as you change position from laying down to sitting or sitting to standing, the cardiovascular system or the heart has trouble keeping up with that change as it's pumping the blood against gravity. And that's on our list of things that can contribute to fall risk and the changes with age. One of the tips that we have for that is doing some light exercise before you change position, particularly at night. So it's tough because if you've got to make a move to get somewhere quickly, that can be a difficult piece, but doing something like some ankle pumps or even opening and closing your hands before you start moving can prime the cardiovascular system for work. And then certainly standing up and taking a minute before you go can also sort of help the blood pressure keep up. And then environmental things like lights and rugs, mm-hmm. like Patty talked about, can be a part of that as well. And I had mentioned before that there's about 17 systems involved in balancing. Well, the top 3 are vision, your inner ear, and this other system called your somatosensory system. And I can go into detail on each of these, but with age, there's degenerative changes in each of these systems. So therefore, the likelihood of falling goes up because the systems aren't working quite as well as they once were.
So if you wake up in the middle of the night and you have to go to the bathroom, don't go back to sleep and wait until you really have to go. Maybe sit up, move your hands a little bit, move your ankles a little bit, then stand up, wait a moment, and then walk to the bathroom. That simple, that kind of advice can make a huge difference.
Big time. And we know, you know, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but we know that having that orthostatic hypotension changes your fall risk. It's more than 2, so it more than doubles your fall risk. So by managing that, by using those steps, you can sort of cross that off the list of things that would make you more likely to fall as you get older.
Okay. Can Patty, both of you, jump in.
One other thing is I think she had this fall in the middle of the night, doesn't really remember what was around it. I think it's always time to have a conversation with your health provider and say, this is happening maybe more in the middle of the night. And so maybe things need to be adjusted, maybe medications and all those techniques that Jason talked about certainly can make us aware and putting on a light so that we are aware of our surroundings, but also having that link back in, because it's not normal to lose your blood pressure at night.
Okay, Anna?
Well, and I just wanted to, commend this caller for sort of stepping up and asking questions and not just sitting back and kind of accepting the situation. I think that's a really important piece of the puzzle, is to ask the questions and go figure out what the answers are, whether it's with your doctor or another professional, depending on what the issue is. But I think that's, really key.
All right. Well, we're talking about preventing falls on Maine Calling. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more of your comments and questions. This is Maine Calling. Stay with us.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Eastern Art Services in South Portland, now accepting clients seeking individual or high-volume fine art storage. EasternArtServices.com. And New England Cancer Specialists, 50 years of working toward better outcomes for Maine patients. Learn more at NewEnglandCancerSpecialists.org.
I'm Razia Iqbal. In a time of fast-developing news and headlines, NewsHour is there to help you make sense of a complex world.
This is an historic victory and what is a very important day.
This could change world history.
Everybody's going to pay a price. He will, everybody will.
And I am just so happy to be home and to put my feet on this land again.
Another huge development.
That's NewsHour from the BBC.
And you can join us for BBC NewsHour overnights and each weekday morning at 9 a.m. Maine Public is a media sponsor of the Penobscot Theatre Company's production of The Graduate, the Maine premiere of the stage adaptation of the classic film of the same name. Performances are happening now through September 23rd, this Sunday at the Bangor Opera House, and Maine Public members are eligible for 15% off tickets to all performances. To learn more about The Graduate and the Maine Public member discount, visit mainepublic.org and click on events.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, understanding how to prevent falls. Joining me in the studio, Patty League, who's a nurse and program manager of A Matter of Balance. Jason Adore, physical therapist and owner of Maine Strong Balance Center. And Anna Guest, a falls prevention project director with Southern Maine Agency on Aging. We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We're going to go to York Beach now, and Maggie. Hi, Maggie. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was born in 1955, and I'm not overweight. I'm very active in, like, gardening and doing all these things, cleaning the house. I had two really bad falls this spring. One was in the shower, which was a slip, which I think has to do with balance. And the other one, when I was working in the yard, I tripped. Both times I hit my ribs bad, and I had about, 8 weeks of not being able to breathe properly. My question is, I've since had bone scans, and my mother has very bad, she's 90, has very bad osteoporosis. My spine was good, but my hip is starting to look like osteopetia, they call it, I think. And all I've been doing myself is just being very aware, because I live alone, very aware of what I do. But I feel too young to have this happening to me. Could this be hip-related? Because, I fall and I can't get up. That's not me.
Yeah. Thank you for your question, Maggie. And osteoarthritis is very common. Is this a cause of falling?
Yeah. If someone has osteoarthritis, I wish I brought all my numbers in. But again, it's something, it's just under 2 times. So just by having a diagnosis Pain is one factor, but osteoarthritis is a separate factor. That increases your likelihood of falls. I think the thought process behind that is that if you have a joint that's not doing its job, you're going to change your movement patterns and therefore potentially increase your chances of having a fall. I think, you know, talking to your physician about, is always a good place to start. And then obviously we've got these balance screenings coming up as well. You know, speaking with somebody about kicking the tires on each of these systems, whether it's your hip or, your blood pressure or your strength, and getting to the bottom of which systems may be letting you down in these scenarios. Good idea to do it now. And again, thanks for the call and thanks for looking into this now. It's important to do these things earlier.
Annie, do you know off the top of your head if there's a balance screening near Maggie in York Beach?
I can tell you that there's a screening in Kittery at the Maine Senior Guide Expo on October 10th.
Terrific. Great. Joining us on the line now, James Krebs is Assistant Dean and Clinical Assistant Professor at the University of New England's College of Pharmacy. Thanks for calling in, James.
Thank you, Jennifer. It's a pleasure.
You're a pharmacist. Tell us why medications are one of the key elements to look at when trying to prevent falls.
Yeah, it's essential. As drug use is increasing with our older population over the past few decades, we are noticing that more and more patients are taking more and more medications. And many of these drugs they're taking are associated with significant risk of falling. So it's important that we see our patients to discuss these challenges.
If someone wants some help with understanding their medications and how their medications and the combination of those might put them at risk for falls, what should they do?
Yeah, there's a lot of options. I think probably the best option is I think that our patients need to utilize their community pharmacist. They should be able to go to their pharmacist and they can look at their medication history, or we'd say their drug profile, and they can do a thorough review and they can look at those medications and say, you know, which ones can we possibly stop? Which ones can we switch to a safer alternative? And then, you know, hopefully reduce those medications to the lowest effective dose.
We had an emailer before the break who mentioned her concern about her blood pressure medications. What other kind of medications are sort of on the red flag list, those that can really that are common medications that can affect someone's chance of having a fall?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a list that, you know, we refer to in healthcare is called the Beers list. But basically what those include are certainly the high blood pressure medications, certain things like certain diuretics or drugs we call beta blockers. But things like sedatives or hypnotics that our patients use to sleep are huge, huge risk for falls. As well, things like antidepressants and, more importantly, with the increased use of narcotics and over-the-counter medications can definitely cause an increased risk for fall.
Our emailer, Betsy, was looking at the trade-off and realizing that there might be a bit of a choice to be made here between taking a blood pressure medication and reducing the risk of falling. Is that a concern that many people have? And how do you go about thinking about that concern?
Absolutely. It is a concern, and we do try to weigh the risk-benefit. We do want to make sure our patients' blood pressures are well-maintained, but at the same time, we can look at medications that can reduce the blood pressure but also have a lower risk for fall. So that could be choosing a different medication or maybe even taking their current medication and just reducing that dose to an appropriate level that would be most effective.
And while you're on the line, I want to ask you, earlier this morning, we had a doctor call in and ask about a severe vitamin D deficit. Is this a cause of falling? And if so, what can you tell us about getting enough vitamin D?
Yeah, absolutely. It is a concern as our patients are not receiving enough vitamin D, whether it be naturally or through the sun. So we do recommend that all of our patients are screened for a vitamin D deficiency, and they should speak with their provider about doing a supplement. Summer's ending. We're going to have less sun now, so maybe it's time for them to see the provider to get a supplement of vitamin D.
All right. Well, Patty, did you want to jump in?
Well, you know, I think we live in Maine, of all places, and our sunlight is very limited. So talking with your provider and figuring out what level of supplement you need is really the first step in preventing fractures due to vitamin D deficiency.
And James Krebs, before we let you go, would you say, is it something that most pharmacists offer for free to go to them and say, can you take a holistic look at my medications and see if they're putting me at risk for falling?
Yes, I believe that all pharmacists would gladly accept their patient to come in and bring a list or look at their medications and just do a complete medication review. And I think patients around there, they should do it on a regular basis as medications are added or removed from their list. Simply go to their pharmacist and say, just do a screen. It simply takes a few minutes for them to go through and look at some of the high-risk ones, and they can work with the patient and their prescriber to see which ones can reduce or possibly remove. So I encourage all patients to use their community pharmacist.
Well, thanks for calling in. That's James Krebs. He's with UNE's College of Pharmacy, where he is Assistant Dean and Clinical Assistant Professor. We'll move to Anne Marie calling from Portland. Hi, Anne Marie. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm in the throes of this with my mother and several falls over the past few years. And one of the things that I learned was there are conditions and definitions and labels that are added to the patient. So, for instance, she had a hip surgery, and in 8 weeks at rehab, the therapists were noticing that she was always lying crooked in bed. She was always sort of walking towards the right side of the hallway when she was walking down the hallway, and it was all just conjecture that they just were noticing this. And it wasn't until a different stint at a different rehab facility where somebody actually put a name to that and said, you know, your mom has a real lack of proprioception, and it limits her ability to know where her body is in space, her spatial relations, which makes it difficult for her to know that that chair she thinks she's sitting in is actually right behind her unless she can actually feel it. And that was the first time I'd ever heard that term, proprioception, even though she had been at a therapy in a facility for 8 weeks prior to that. And so that launched a whole different approach to how to address her falling and her listing to the right as she walked down the hallway and not knowing exactly where she was.
What kind of adjustments did you make, Anne Marie? What kind of changes are you making to help your mother, or is she making?
Well, what I found out from that particular facility was that there is a specific practitioner, what's called a functional neurologist, who can address proprioception issues. With my mother, it's a neurological thing where the messaging to her leg doesn't work exactly right, and the messaging to her body about where she is in space is not, there's just not appropriate communication through the neurons in her brain. So they have therapies that help basically retrain the brain and rewire it so that those functionalities can be, if not replaced 100%, at least to a point where she better recognizes where she is and her balance becomes better as well as her awareness.
Thank you so much for calling in and sharing your story. How common is this?
Yes, so proprioception falls under the umbrella of the somatosensory system that I mentioned in the beginning. So it's one of our top three balance systems. And the way that this system works is that it gathers sensory data from your skin, from your joints, from your muscles. It actually sends that sensory data up to your brain. Your brain processes that and then sends down motor information or movement information that tells you how to respond to that sensory data. So proprioception is something that a physical therapist routinely can work on as well. This is a big part of what we do in physical therapy. But the truth is that I think balance is a bit underserved in physical therapy, and that's one of the reasons that I thought there was a need for the Balance Center. So we have a place where we can really sort of do this well. But there's a lot of brilliant physical therapists in Maine that are doing this routinely. And the idea is with practice, with what's called high-level perturbation training. So what that means is basically that you're doing things that are difficult. So for example, in the clinic, I've got these harness suspension systems to prevent people from having falls. So they're sort of attached to the ceiling. And I'll have people do things like stand on foam and close their eyes. And in doing so, they're working really hard to stay still. And with repetition, the brain has plasticity, or it can change. And you can get better at reading the sensory data, better at putting out better motor data. And proprioception, or the somatosensory system, is something that can be improved significantly through training.
Can someone do something like, I'm trying to remember whether this was from you, Jason, or someone else, something simple like when they're standing in the kitchen, putting their hands on the counter, lifting one foot, and then closing their eyes, something like
that.
That's
exactly it. So, you know, everyone's a little bit different in terms of how good their somatosensory system is working. Position one that we usually start with is just standing with your feet together. For some people, that's very difficult. The next spot would be what we call semi-tandem, where one foot's a little bit in front of the other. The third position is called tandem, where you're sort of standing heel to toe. And then the really advanced position is standing on one leg. And the idea is to tune up your proprioception or to tune up your somatosensory system, which is really neurological rehab. I mean, you're changing your brain by doing this. You repeat these positions that are difficult, and your brain will get better at doing this.
And, you know, sometimes you can even start by taking the first steps and doing something to engage in physical activity, you know, and then move along. And don't be afraid of reaching out and talking to your provider and saying, you know, my balance is really off. I really might need more of an assessment. You know, so taking matter of balance, learning new strategies, becoming more aware of your space, your body and space, and then what is it that I need to maximize myself?
Mimi writes, Tai Chi is a proven way to increase balance and hence decrease the likelihood of falls. Info can be found at the Arthritis Foundation or at Dr. Paul Lam's Tai Chi for Health Institute.
Yes, and that is the primary Tai Chi program, or at least the primary evidence-based Tai Chi program that we offer through the AAAs or the Agencies on Aging here in Maine. Oftentimes you'll see it in the community as Tai Chi for Health and Balance. But that is our program.
We'll go to Becky, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Becky. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I am calling on behalf of my mother-in-law, who I find still at 87 loves to go swimming. And we've taken trips to Florida together, and we swim in the ocean. And the way that we've been able to get her easily from the house or the car has to been to give her hiking staffs. And she likes these more than using a cane. I think a cane makes her feel old and just not as balanced as the hiking staffs do. And she went through depression when she lost her husband. And I found that just getting her to move was difficult. So if you can get them to get out and not be too afraid of falling or, or looking vulnerable, I think that helps.
Becky, thanks so much for calling. Anna, whether it's walking staffs or even a cane or a walker, what kind of difference do these devices make?
Yeah, there were two things that were mentioned that I just kind of wanted to follow up on. And one is, I think, especially if you work in the field of aging or if you are aging, you can be really painfully aware of sort of our cultural attitudes toward older people. And sometimes it's really negative. And so I'm like such a proponent of, you know, replacing that cane with, you know, the walking sticks or something that makes people, they identify with it. You know, it's not, I think I'm all about, you know, using a walker if you need it, using a cane if you need it, but also make it work for you. Make it something that feels comfortable and you can re-engage with those things in your life that are important without feeling like people are going to look at you and judge you differently if that allows you to get back into those things. So that was one of the things I wanted to say. Anything that supports you being more active and being confident to be more active. And so I think that's such a great comment.
So better to go out on a walk with walking sticks than and not go on a walk at all.
Absolutely, yeah.
And they're pretty cool. I mean, I think walking sticks, I use them every morning when I go for my morning walk because it's two more points on the ground and I have my confidence and I'm going to go see that sunrise.
I also feel like there's always this balance, which may be at the crux of this question, between what is safe and what decisions we make to be safer and what we want to do. Mm-hmm. And I think, I know it's important to me, and I would assume it's important to everybody, regardless of their age, whether they're the concerned daughter or the mother, that you've got to balance, all right, it may be a safer choice to use a walker because you've got something very steady. But also, what do you want to do? So, you know, making the safest choice isn't always the right choice. It just needs to be in the conversation.
All right. Well, Becky, thanks so much for starting this part of the conversation. We have an email from John. I have noticed an increased problem with balance and in PT trying to improve it. One thing I notice is it makes a big difference if I'm sleep deprived. Another contributing problem at present is that I had cataract surgery last winter and am still getting used to my new visual situation. If I'd known the problems, I wouldn't have had the eyes done.
Yeah, that's an interesting take on that. But yeah, vision, you know, back to the top three sort of contributors to balance, vision's on that list, big time. So that's got to be a factor in terms of that decision making.
All right. Well, thank you, John, for that email. We are going to take another quick break, but first, a word about tomorrow's program. We're going to learn about how the arts can play a role in helping rural communities thrive, small towns. Email your comments or questions ahead of time if you'd like to talk@mainepublic.org. You're listening to Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Waterfront Concerts, presenting Lord of the Dance September 27th at the Cross Insurance Center in Bangor. Tickets at waterfrontconcerts.com. Maine Masonic Charitable Foundation, supporting Maine Public Radio's efforts to provide knowledge, wisdom, and entertainment to the people of Maine. And the Alzheimer's Association's Walk to End Alzheimer's, with 7 locations from York Beach to Fort Kent. Details at alz.org/walk.
On the next Fresh Air, we talk about the evangelical sexual purity and abstinence movement with Linda K. Klein. Her new book, Pure, is part memoir, including the story of how she left the church. It's also based on conversations she's had with other women about how the evangelical purity movement has affected their sense of identity and their sex lives. Join us.
And join us for Fresh Air this evening at 7 o'clock. And join us at 2 o'clock following Maine Calling for the Commonwealth Club of California. Today's speaker, Seema Verma, Administrator of Medicare and Medicaid. That's the Commonwealth Club of California coming up at 2 o'clock following Maine Calling here on Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, what to do to help prevent falls. Joining us today, Jason Adore with Maine Strong Balance Center, Anna Guest with Maine Falls Prevention Coalition, and Patty League with A Matter of Balance. Join our conversation. Give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. So the Maine Falls Prevention Coalition is new?
It is. You know, it's been sort of on and off, different things over the years. And I don't need to go into that now. But anyway, what we have going on is some really great and exciting work that's really statewide. And it's bringing people together who have a stake in falls prevention. So that could really be anyone, right? It could be if you're an older adult and you want to have more of a voice in this conversation, if you're a healthcare provider, if you're a caregiver, if you are a physical therapist or a pharmacist, really, we all hold this problem. We all have a piece of the solution, the conversation. So we meet regularly with a steering group. And, you know, I think what we're really about is raising awareness about this issue so that it becomes a more common piece of our collective consciousness as a culture. And we want to also have a big role in providing resources and sort of being a go-to for networking on this topic. So we have a new website. It's www.nofalls, and that's K-N-O-W, nofallsforme.org. What you can find there is information about who we are, local representatives if you want to get in touch with someone in your area. And then we have all those events that we mentioned very briefly earlier. You can find details there and some really great resources. And that's everything from, you know, how to talk to your doctor about falls. If you're a caregiver, how to talk to your loved one, debunking some of those myths that Jason touched on. If you want to know more about your medications and what kind of questions to ask or which medications to be aware of, we've got some great resources there. We even have some really nice ones for healthcare professionals. Some services for falls prevention are billable, and so we have some great tips there. How to talk to your patients about a fall.
We're going to link that. We've already linked it on our Facebook page, also link it on our webpage. And I want to mention that we are linking this because we have so many calls and emails coming in. There's no way we're going to get to all of them. So if you are not able to get through in the, you know, next 12 minutes or so that we're on the air, go ahead and go and look at some of the resources that are being posted from the coalition. An email from Chuck. I'm 70 and I've had some balance issues. Would an inner ear infection lead to falls?
Yeah, so back to my top three list. The inner ear's back on that list. And it's a really exotic, sensitive system. So the inner ear works by there's fluid in your ears in these three canals, and they're happening in both ears. And as you turn your head, this fluid is moving around, moving hair cells around, and that data is sent to the brainstem for processing to help you figure out where you are in space. So any insult to that area could require some tune-up. We call it vestibular physical therapy to get back on track.
We'll go to Patricia calling from Frenchville. Hi, Patricia. Go ahead.
Hi. Love the show. 2 years ago, when I was 60, I was carrying an armload of clothes out to the car, forgetting that we had some loose boards by the garage. And down I went and cracked my right arm in three places.
Ouch.
And, I find that I'm just not focusing as well on my tasks and being aware of things. But since then, I started doing a beginner's yoga DVD, which has completely taken away all my pain and aches in my joints from my neck all the way down to my toes. And I just can't say enough about doing something like yoga or Tai Chi. And, you know, I'm not twisting myself up into a pretzel. It's just very simple, lovely stretches that make you feel great. And I also agree with making sure you get your vitamin D check. Mine was rock bottom. And my husband this last winter wasn't feeling good, and he said, maybe I should get my vitamin D check. And his healthcare provider said, oh, just start taking some. Well, he insisted on having it checked, and he was rock bottom, and it ended up he had to be taking twice as much as originally suggested. But, yeah, being one of the millions without health insurance, I have to start being a lot more careful.
Thank you
for taking my call.
Patricia, thank you so much for calling in. And while you were talking, Patty, you were nodding the whole time.
I was nodding because I love the fact that you took action. I hope you got the boards fixed, number one, so that you don't trip on them again. But also taking action and learning how to be in your body and be aware of your body and increase your strength and your stretching, all of that really helps you prevent falls and take the first step.
Patricia, thanks so much. We have an email from Bobby. Motion sensor lights are very helpful. There are battery-powered ones for places where there are no electrical outlets. With rechargeable batteries, they are a good investment. Night lights that stay on through the dark help a lot with orientation. I see you out of the corner of my eyes nodding, Anna.
Yeah, I love this because it just reminds me, there was a workshop I led last fall right around the time that we had that huge power outage for days at a time. And one of the participants came in with his little night light. Now, this was one that you plug in, it charges, and it only comes on if the power goes off, or maybe it's light sensitive too. But there are so many little tricks out there and really low tech, low cost things that can make a difference. Thanks for sharing.
And somebody, Paul on Facebook, writes, IED bulbs last longest, will reduce falls from LED, excuse me. Typo here. LED bulbs last longest, will reduce falls from stepladders, a great gift for elders or anyone. We'll go to Melanie in South Berwick. Hi, Melanie. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just called in because I am a concerned daughter. I have two aging parents. My dad fell and broke his hip last year. And we're actually having an event at the South Berwick Public Library tomorrow night. There's a building company here in town, Great Northern Builders. And they, one of their specialties is doing home renovations that make modifications for people, aging people, to stay in their home safely. So removing barriers and opening up entryways and things like that. So just wanted to announce that if any of your callers are in the South Berwick area.
Sure, and go ahead and feel free to post more details and information on our Facebook page. But thinking about, and when we say renovations, we don't necessarily, Anna, even mean big renovations, right?
Right, it could be installing grab bars in the bathroom, changing lighting, installing handrails or things like that. And there are some really great programs. We do have a home safety section on the Coalition webpage. Check that out. But, you know, there are some great programs. I just found out this past week that the Westbrook Housing Authority, the South Portland Housing Authority, and a few others have a really great program called Comfortably Home, where the Housing Authority will actually go out and make an assessment of people's homes who live still in their own home in the community and make some, you know, a certain level of minor repairs. So that's something we could post some information about, too, I bet.
Great. Melanie, thank you so much for bringing up that part of the conversation. We're going to go to Lori calling from Wiscasset. Hi, Lori. Go ahead.
I was calling about the inner ear issue. I've suffered from vertigo for over 8 years on and off. First time that it happened was pretty bad episode. And then I had several more every so often. And I thought, inner ear person, make sure I wasn't tumors. He said I have, from the symptoms that I described, he said I have like a loose bit of something floating around in my ear. And sometimes it gets in the way of that fluid.
Sure, Lori, you're cutting in and out. So I'm going to have Jason address vertigo.
Yes, yeah, so there's a number of causes of those type of symptoms, but I think the one that she's describing is in certain areas of your inner ear. As you're turning your head or as you're changing positions, I told you there was fluid, and then the fluid displaced the hair cells. There's also these crystals which belong in one area of your inner ear. They're called otoconia. And in some cases, a crystal can get in the wrong canal, pushing a hair cells in the wrong direction. So the body is registering movement as those hair cells are pushed, even though you're still. So that can be really debilitating. The vestibular sort of physical therapy or the ENTs, there are some techniques to get those crystals out of there very quickly. They're usually pretty amenable to treatment if that's what's going on.
All right. Well, good luck to you, Lori. An email from Donna. I saw my podiatrist just today, and we talked about falls. He said that tight calf muscles and ankles that are not flexible enough are a big reason for falls. He showed me calf stretches to do. Patty?
Well, calf stretches, you know, our feet are where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. And so we really need to keep those feet responding well so that we can go up and down stairs and stretching out those calf muscles. There's a simple stretch that we can do up against a wall and put one foot behind the other and stretch until you feel less stretch in your calf. And so there's some things that we can do, and I bet you that's one of those exercises you can find on the Maine Coalition website as well.
Yeah, you got it. That made it on our placemat that we sent out as well. And the reasoning behind it, and that's brilliant that the podiatrist offered that. I think that's really brilliant.
Yeah, I love it.
The idea is when your calf is tight, it prevents you from pulling your toe up during the swing phase of gait. So as your foot is moving through the air, if your calf is tight, you're more likely to catch that toe.
Mm. An email from Sue. We all fall at some time. The idea is to practice getting up off the floor. Often, we should all get on the floor and keep practicing getting up. Do you all agree with Sue?
Yeah, I think
that, I think if you have the capacity to get down on that floor, practicing getting up is certainly very important.
Okay, and Jason, I want to ask you, let's say you feel yourself falling. What's your advice on how to fall?
Yeah, so there's actually some really compelling evidence on how to soften a landing. So here's the tips. So they had about 200 participants fall onto different force plates and measured the forces. So if you're falling backwards onto your buttock, that's a common way to have a hip fracture. So instead of falling straight onto your buttock, if you bend your knees as you're falling backwards and roll with the fall, you can reduce the impact forces at the hip by 46%, potentially reducing your impact. If you're falling forward, instead of landing on the outstretched arm like it sounds like one of the callers did who fractured the arm, if you can bend the elbow and roll with the fall, turn it into a side roll, you can reduce your chances of fracturing your forearms by about 26%. So we've got some real evidence behind how to soften these landings if you've got time to deploy them.
We have an email from John. Residents of the Blue Hill Peninsula with balance issues can now take a TRX balance class at Physique and Fitness Center on Deer Isle. My own balance and mobility has improved dramatically since taking the low-cost class with a skillful and caring trainer. Highly recommended for those of us with muscle weakness and balance challenges. So yet another resource out there. It seems as though there's more and more. We're going to go to Karen, who's calling from Limerick. Hi, Karen. Go ahead, and if you could ask your question quickly, that would be terrific.
Sure. Hi, Jennifer. Actually, it's not a question. It's one thing I've fallen for many, many years. But one thing I haven't heard mentioned was having animals in the house. I'm often tripping on cats that just appear silently behind my feet. And I was just going to throw that out. But as we were talking, I thought I could put a large bell on those cats. But anyway, the other thing is just not being mindful of where your feet are. Lifestyle, I move too quickly through life, and I need to be mindful of where my feet are, and I highly recommend that to people. So thank you very much. This is a very important program today. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Karen. And I don't think you're alone in moving too quickly through life. I think that is part of our modern life today, is all of us pretty much thinking about something else while we're moving through space. Do you like the idea, Patty, of putting a bell on your cat?
I love that idea of knowing where your animals are, because don't we need them? They supply a lot of emotional support for us, and we love having them around. But let's figure out where they are so we don't take that wrong step and step on a tail, maybe hurt them, and hurt ourselves in the process, too.
Thank you. Let's move to Sarah in Falmouth. And Sarah, I'm also going to ask you to ask your question or make your comment quickly, because we're almost out of time.
Okay, thank you. Yes, I came to late to the program. I'm a Tai Chi Cha instructor, which is a form of moving meditation. And I just wanted to let people know that it is all about balance and muscle tone, sleep, all those kinds of things which help with this issue. And there are free classes right in Conga Square Park on Wednesday mornings through October at 10 o'clock. Classes are also offered through the Saco and Portland Rec Centers. You can go to www.taichicha.org and get information on benefits and medical studies and accredited teacher listings. But it's very much about balance and
terrific.
Moving forward through our ages. So,
thanks for calling in. I was glad I was able to get your call in. Sarah is our last voice today. Thank you, all of us, all of you in the studio here with me. Anna Guest, Falls Prevention Project Director with the Southern Maine Agency on Aging and Chair of the Maine Falls Prevention Coalition. And yes, those resources will be on our Facebook page and website. Patty League is Program Manager for A Matter of Balance. And Jason Adore, a physical therapist and the owner of the Maine Strong Balance Center in Scarborough. John Keimel ran the board today. Our volunteer, Jane Vaughn, took your calls. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Our website, mainecalling.org. Tomorrow on the show, Arts and Rural Development. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.